Hey guys, today's episode with Mike Lynch, pastor of North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia, is presented by our Sports Spectrum Podcast Network. For more stories, more conversations on the intersection of sports and faith in Jesus Christ, check out sportsspectrum.com.
Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer, Jason Romano.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. I am Jason Romano, your host today for Sports Spectrum's podcast. We're so glad that you're tuning into our program. Make sure you check out our website, sportsspectrum.com. It has all of our content there. Free content. It's all for free. Podcasts, devotionals, stories, articles on the intersection of sports and faith. We're bringing Jesus back into the conversation. It's all for free at sportsspectrum.com. And when you're there, make sure you go to the top of the website and click that newsletter icon. When you click it, it'll prompt you to put your email address in. And when you put that email address in, it's a great way to stay connected to Sports Spectrum and subscribing to Sports Spectrum Weekly. It's an email that comes to your inbox once a week, and it just allows us to update you on all of the content that you may have missed. We have a ton of podcasts, a ton of stories, devotionals. You're bound to miss a few. We understand. We respect that, and we forgive you. So let us just bring it to you into your email inbox every single week when you subscribe to Sports Spectrum Weekly for free. Click the newsletter icon at the top of sportsspectrum.com, and you are good to go to sign up for Sports Spectrum Weekly. Today, I am excited because the conversation that we have with Mike Lynch, who is a sports chaplain and the pastor of North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, is one of my favorite conversations we've had in a while. Mike is a Liberty University grad and played college baseball for three seasons under New York Yankees great Bobby Richardson, who used to be the manager for Liberty's baseball team. Mike's also a high school baseball coach. He also does chaplain work for high school teams, and he's actually been a guest chaplain for the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL, among some other NFL teams, since 2008. Mike also hosts a podcast. It's called Lynch with a Leader, L-I-N-C-H, Lynch with a Leader, that launched back in August of 2017. And his day job, his main role, is pastoring North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia. That's outside of Atlanta. Mike Lynch is awesome. You guys are going to love this conversation. We dive into a bunch of different topics: sports, ministry, leadership, Mike's testimony of faith, playing baseball in college, lessons from a former New York Yankees great who happened to be his manager. You're going to love this conversation with Mike Lynch, pastor of North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia, and it's coming up right now on Sports Spectrum. Hi, Mike Lynch. How are you, buddy?
Hello, Jason Romano. Man, it is an honor to be on here. You will always hold a special place in my heart because you were my very first guest of my Yahoo podcast years ago when you took a chance. And man, you'll always, that always will mean something to me. Thanks for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. Your podcast is called Lynch with a Leader. I want to talk about that in a second and kind of why you started that and the heart behind it. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but really I want to hear your story a little bit, if we could start there. Because I know you played college baseball at Liberty under a very well-known, we'll say, New York Yankees great. Take us through kind of growing up. I have to imagine sports played a huge part in your life.
Yes. Sports were everything. I mean, that was the sports were the thing mom and dad would use to go, you got to get your grades up or you don't get to go to the baseball field. So baseball, basketball, stop playing basketball, ninth grade, played through high school, did decently well. And my senior year, out of nowhere, Liberty shows up. And my pastor, it was interesting, my pastor had been at Liberty speaking and had left an article about me in the AJC, the Atlanta Journal, left it on Coach Richardson's desk. And thankfully, they were looking for one more guy in that recruiting class. And back, you know, recruiting in 87 was very different than recruiting in 2021. But ended up visiting Liberty, loved it, fell in love with the place. And it was a great journey. In a lot of ways, I look back now, I probably shouldn't have been there talent-wise, but it was where the Lord wanted me. And he wanted me there for the people I would meet and the relationships I would build and all those kind of things. But I think the team probably took a vote each spring when I'd get on the mound and they thought, you know, he might be here for other things. Pitching's probably not one of them, but it was a great experience playing those years at Liberty.
You mentioned Coach Richardson. That's Bobby Richardson, New York Yankees, great World Series champion, Bobby Richardson, who played in the 50s and 60s with those very famous New York Yankee teams.
Yep.
What was it like to not just be recruited by him, but then to get to play with him?
You know, in a lot of ways, it was surreal. Yeah. I didn't know who he was the first time he called. So I was born in 69. He played. He retired in 66. But my dad knew him. So my dad's like, oh, no, you're going to return this call. But when I got there and you began to hear the stories and you began to watch this everywhere you would go, people would clamor for him. And then you would just sit with him and he would talk about Mickey and he would talk about Moose Cowron and Yogi Berra. And everywhere we played, one of the old Yankees would visit. It was amazing to hear those stories, to feel like you were a part of it. And to look back now and go, man, I got to, for a 4-year, really 3 years that he was there with us, I got to be beside a guy that was better than advertised. You know, he used to always tell the story that Casey Stengel hired a private eye to follow he and Tony Kubek because there was no way two guys could live that clean. And they were playing ping pong at the Y. And they just couldn't get over, you know, they weren't Whitey and Mickey and going out with Billy Martin and all those guys, but they were doing their own thing. But that's who he was. And I think the last time Coach and I talked, he's done 13 funerals for former Yankee players. So at the end of their days, they turned back to Coach Richardson and they turned back to that faith that he had and said, would you deliver the eulogy? Would you deliver the message? And many of them, he helped lead to Christ, include Mickey Mantle through the years. And so it's an amazing, is just, he was a legend on and off the field.
Yeah. We did a story, I want to say 2 or 3 years ago at sportsspectrum.com on that opportunity or I guess moment for Bobby Richardson when Mickey Mantle's on his deathbed.
That's right.
I think it was 1995 when he passed and Bobby leads him back to Christ. I mean, I think he had some seeds planted for sure in there, but he actually shared the gospel with him. Have you heard that story? Has Bobby told you that story?
Oh yeah. He came and told it. I had a coach's Bible study at my house.
Yeah.
And Coach came and told that story. And what was so interesting, I remember at Liberty, he would fly out once a month to New York and Mickey hosted a Bible study at his restaurant and bar in New York. Mickey wouldn't attend, but he would sit over and listen. And Coach would talk about it. He would say, yeah, Mickey didn't come, but he sat and listened, man, the seeds were planted. That's what Coach would always say. I know that the seeds have been planted. And I think about that and what a picture, and you know, you think about athletics and your love of it. What a picture of living your life in such a way that it makes others interested in what you have. Hmm. You're not beating them over the head with it, but you're presenting it in such a way. And he would always tell the story of his last day as a Yankee on Bobby Richardson Day, the year he retired. They brought in a guy named Billy Zioli to present the gospel to the team because he wanted the last thing that happened was a presentation. And Baseball Chapel today began with what Coach Richardson and those guys did back in the day. And he was president of Baseball Chapel for years and years in the baseball world. So it was, I look back and we have kept up all these years, just talked to him a few weeks ago. Good. And he is a legend in his faith.
Yeah. More that's what I was going to say.
Accomplished on the field.
Right. He's a legendary baseball player who won a lot of World Series and played with amazing players during an amazing time to play baseball. But the champion of faith and even ending up at Liberty, right? That's got to be such a neat thing for you because you come in as a young kid, 18, 19 years old. And I want to hear about your faith journey in a second, but I have to imagine that was a big pivotal time for you in your walk with Jesus, being around somebody like Bobby Richardson and being at Liberty.
I was with a group of coaches just recently, Jason, and I told them the very first time I saw a coach live like Jesus. I had Christian coaches prior to that. But you may or may not. That it may not be reflected all the time, you know, on the field. But I never saw Coach Richardson live anything different on a Thursday night on a bad in a bad call at Virginia Tech than I did when he was sharing at a event on Sunday while we were traveling. That was just his faith was who he was, and it marked me. I had some, you know, Henry Blackaby says, you know, our spiritual journey is really made upon crisis of belief moments where we have to figure out what something is to us. And I remember my freshman year, I had a bad temper, but nobody had ever said anything to me. And I came to know Christ in middle school, grew up in a Christian family, but I just sort of did my own thing when it came to my temper because I was one of the better players on the team. And I pitched a fit in the dugout that I got pulled and gave up a bunch of runs. I knew why I got pulled and hit a fungo against the cooler and kicked the just did what I'd done before. And as soon as the game was over, Coach Richardson pulls me aside and he said, you know, it seems like you're dealing with some anger stuff that you need to get a handle on. So I tell you what, while we're going to Washington, D.C. to play George Mason and whoever else they were playing that weekend, why don't you just stay back in the dorm and spend some time with the Lord and just see if that's who you want to be?
Wow.
So a whole team pulls off and I'm sitting in a dorm by myself my freshman year, having to explain to my mom and dad in Atlanta why I'm in Lynchburg and not with the team in D.C. It was one of those crisis of belief moments that what I was doing was not reflective of who I said I was. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, boy, in my journey, that was incredibly pivotal for me.
Do you feel like now watching coaches, because you're a pastor, and I think there's a moniker that people look at when they hear the word pastor, you know, they're expecting you to share your faith, to share the gospel, to invite people to church. But as a coach, and you coach as well, and you're chaplaining, you know, you've also done a lot of chaplain work, but as a coach, a Christian coach, I feel like there's sometimes a bullseye on that person from the world, right? From the media, especially, because I think of a person like Tony Dungy, who's not coaching anymore, but when he coached, I remember people were watching to see in that moment when a bad call was made or they lost a really tough game, he's going to be a different person. Just watch.
That's right.
Just watch. Do you feel that way as Christian coaches? Have you talked to I know you do a lot of work with coaches on trying to be, like you said, what Bobby Richardson is, as a person who's the same person on and off the field. That's very tough for coaches.
What I found, Jason, is the more a coach moves in their walk with Christ and they move from being known as a Christian coach. And I heard Dan Heefner at Dallas Baptist say this in a conference we did a couple of years ago. He's a phenomenal coach. He was brought in to teach about hitting was what he was brought in to do. And he got up and he said, guys, if you don't mind, I'd like to share my disciple making plan for my players. And this is what he said to the coaches. He said, I don't want to be known as a Christian coach. Cause like everybody's a Christian coach.
Right.
I want to be a kingdom coach. I want to be a coach that coaches for a bigger kingdom than this one. And I had coaches, friends of mine, sitting in that room that say that changed their life because all of a sudden they said, that's what I want to be. So yes, for a coach that wants to live like Jesus, there is a bullseye on you. So every Monday I host a coach's college coach pro baseball scout Bible study on Zoom. We've been doing it 4 years.
Yeah.
Kevin Burrell, who you've had on, Michael Schlatt, who you've had on, are on there. Clint Hurdle, who you've had on, is on there. We've got 70 guys across America at the highest level, from pro ball down to, I have high school coaches in Indiana. We got it all on that call.
Yeah.
But those guys who are taking it serious, it's you. You're held to a different standard, and rightfully so. In some ways, you know, I've put myself out there. So that's the hardest part about it.
Well, it's also hard because you want people to buy into who you are so that they'll listen to what you want to say. And I'm not just talking about from a baseball perspective. I mean, the idea is, I'm sure you've heard this, Mike, people don't care about what you know until they know that you care. But the idea is for them to know that you care so that you can tell them, about Jesus. And that's really difficult as well sometimes for some people.
It is. I know Gary Gilmore. I don't know if you know Coach Gilmore at Coastal Carolina, you know, won the College World Series in 2017.
Yes.
We were doing an interview with him for a conference, and Coach Gilmore said, he told the crowd, he said, my coaching changed when I began to pray every day for my players. He said, when I began to pray for my players, I coached them differently. I love them differently. And I had a different outcome that I wanted. I still want to win. Don't get me wrong, but I have a different outcome when I started praying for those kids. And boy, when we begin to make the shift, and you know this, what did Billy Graham said, coaches will affect more people in a lifetime than any pastor will ever dream of doing. Yeah. And I believe it, because the residual effect of a coach living for Jesus, there's nothing like it.
Yeah, we've had so many athletes on who talk about their coaches, especially when I think about football coaches and people like Tony Dungy and the effect that he's had on so many of the people that we've had on this show who love Jesus, but maybe didn't go deep or really, you can say they were Christian or grew up Christian, but really didn't take their faith as serious as they should have. And then they run into a man like Tony Dungy. And
that's right.
My goodness, what an impact that somebody like him can have on those players. Mike Lynch is our guest here on Sports Spectrum. I want to talk about sports for a minute as a way to share the gospel. When you think about, I mean, it's a kind of a generic term, but I think sports is a really beautiful place where, you know, you have to learn how to get along with different people from different faiths and different backgrounds and different, you know, ethnicities, whatever, different locales, but you come together for a common purpose. I think there's a beauty in that, in being able to see how that's kind of the church that Jesus envisioned when he came to this earth. Can you kind of share a little bit about just your experience? Because you've been in sports for a long time, Mike, playing it, and now in different facets as a coach, as a chaplain. Talk about sports as a great place and a great way to share the gospel.
There's no greater place, because you see everybody at their rawest. You know, so when the pressure's on, right? Yeah. And the ump makes a bad call, or the ref blows it, or we get snubbed and a guy starts ahead. You don't see people at their best. Yeah. You see people at their worst. But when are we most real? Well, we're most real not at our best. We're most real at our worst. So to me, there's no greater place. And so I pasture by day. That's what I do. That's my living. That's how I put food on the table. And yeah. I love what I do. My church, I love, because they see what I do 3:30 on as important as what I do 9:30 to 4. And that's, I put on a hat and I put on coaching shoes and I'm on a ball field with kids. And the reason is, a kid will have a conversation with you on a ball field in the middle of something he would never have sitting in my office. Right. And it breaks down barriers. It just, there's nothing like sports to teach life lessons, to teach spiritual lessons. I mean, the Bible is full of lessons that you could just apply to football, basketball, baseball, whatever it is. Mm. But you apply them there because they fit in that moment. And man, sports are, that's why the impact that's made in locker rooms and PAO and all those kind of events, they're life-changing events. Or when AIA takes a baseball team out for summer and travel, or go down to Dominican with Score International, whatever the group is, there's a bonding that happens in sports when you intersect sports and spiritual things that Christ had to say. There's no greater teaching place. There's no more fertile ground than there.
Bill Curry talks about the huddle and the idea of the huddle. I love that FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, calls their gatherings huddles, because that, there's something special and unique about the huddle, isn't there?
Yep, there sure is. And that's why Coach Curry, when I heard him do that the first time, I'd never heard that before.
Yes.
But it makes all the sense in the world. You don't care about ethnicity. You don't care about where somebody was born, if they're poor, if they're rich. When you get in that huddle and you have that uniform on together, you there's a bond that happens, and breakthrough happens in those areas. And that's why when a Christ follower, whether an athlete or a coach, brings that real faith in, impact is made.
Do you feel like the church, big C church, right?
Yep.
In general, has kind of lost that. Like when we try to get together in a huddle, we look at people and say, oh, you're from this, or you voted for that, or you like this, or you believe in this. And we've lost the idea of going to battle for each other, like the huddle that Bill Curry refers to in this culture that we've been living in the last few years. I don't know. I've seen it maybe more, I guess, maybe in the last 5 years or six years than I've seen it at any other time. Do you see that as a pastor? Have you seen
that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's easier to be known for what you're against than what you're for. And being for people is lost in it. You know, where I've got to hold the line here, and I've got to, and I think one day we're all going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to go, you guys really whacked this thing up. I left you a great manual. You made it way too complicated. Yes. And why did you make this so hard? This wasn't meant to be hard. Yeah. Just love me and love people with the best you got. And we're going to figure this thing out. And we've messed it up, and we make it so complicated. I got to keep people coming back every week. That's what it is. I just give you just enough to go, I got to go back next Sunday. So, but yeah, you make it too complicated and make it everything it's not. Yeah. And so not supposed to be.
How's that been for you as a pastor, talking to people from all different realms, right? Mm-hmm. Between the racial divide and between political divide and between just, I mean, even right now in the pandemic and all that's still been going on, how's that for you, having these conversations with people and still trying to point them to Christ?
Very hard. Toughest year we've ever had. Yeah. Really? 2020. I was just listening. I think you just had Chris Hodges on.
Yes.
And, you know, Chris's book, and Chris gets into that at length, because it was the one year it didn't matter which way you stepped, you were stepping on a bomb. And mm-hmm. and it just didn't matter. And so whether it was you made too many wear masks, or nobody wore a mask, or you talked about the vaccine, you didn't talk about the vaccine, or the racial issues that everybody had to struggle with and deal with, it was just a year. And behind it all, Jason, you see the enemy just slipping out the back door. I mean, you just see him slipping out the back door. He's done what he came to do. You know, you always know the enemy's there on game film. You always know the enemy's there when you're distracted, you doubt, and you're discouraged. When you are those three things, you're distracted from what the main thing is. You doubt what you really believe, and then you get discouraged. Go through any story in scripture of somebody. They go through all three of those things. And boy, the enemy slips out the side door. He gets good people turned on each other, and then he goes, well, I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And he slips out. So yeah, it's been a brutal year and a test of leadership. I had a guy ask me, dear, and he said, so what new dreams are you dreaming in 2020 for 2021? I went, dreaming new dreams? Are you kidding me? I'm just trying to hold the steering wheel. I mean, seriously, just to get through the fog so we can see light again. So it's been a doozy.
Yeah, when you started thinking about pastoring, I'm sure you weren't thinking about 2020 as a time that you were going to have to deal with. But when did pastoring come into the picture for you? Because you were a baseball player. You went to Liberty. I'm guessing during that time, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, that, you know, being a pastor in a church, where does that, you know, seed get planted, and where does that start to take shape for you?
Well, that's a great question, Jason. So I had the benefit of growing up in a great church. Yeah. So that was, I had a very healthy concept of church. Interned at my church in the summer, did some other internships. So I knew I had two routes I was thinking. And the route A was ministry, which I felt like I could really enjoy that, whatever that meant. Or route B was coaching. And that would have been the route I was getting. I got to offer a grad assistant opportunity when I was graduating Liberty. And, you know, I look back at that, and would I have been wrong with either? I don't think so. I don't think I'd have been wrong with either. I think my skill set definitely. So I had to make the decision for me, is coaching a life that I want to choose in a profession, or is it going to be a hobby? Mm-hmm. And so I chose coaching as a hobby. And I look at it now, because I dabble in the coaching world. I'm a pitching coach at a high school. I'm very involved in the athletic world, and that's sort of my strong suit there that I get involved in, but yet I know what I'm called to. And so I look back now, and we think of Romans 8:28, God never wastes our time and he never wastes our experiences, good or bad. He brings them all together. I look at how God uses those years playing and all the friends I have that are in the coaching world that I have a heart for. And I look at how God uses that 30 years later, you know, as a ministry platform for me. I know that coaching is what I enjoy it, but I know what I'm called to do. I know what my calling is. And so I always think about the Field of Dreams moment with Moonlight Graham. You know, Moonlight finally gets the hit, right?
Yes.
He finally is going to get his at bat on the field and the little girl's choking. And he knows if he steps across that line, he's just going to be a doctor.
So good.
But he tells, this is what I was created to do. Mm. And I know, as much as I love dabbling in it, I know what I'm created to do, but I sure am thankful for the experiences I've had so I can love on and love in that world. And guys know that I do care about them, and I do care about them as if I were in it.
He is Mike Lynch, the pastor at North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. Do you think that's a struggle for so many of us that are looking for their calling and maybe settle or not even settle, but think their calling is supposed to be their hobby? And that's a hard thing to distinguish, right? I mean, it's weird for me. I think about my journey. You know, I think my calling ultimately was always into ministry and didn't even realize it or know that until I was 43 years old, but it was always sports that kept everything that I've done throughout my career connected. And it was always hard to figure out what's my calling versus what's my hobby? Because you can be passionate about your hobby and be even good at what you do. And I tell people your sweet spot is what you're good at and what you're passionate about, kind of intersecting those. But sometimes that's still not the calling. How do you distinguish those two?
Well, I think we all, as a Christ follower, we all have a calling to live for Christ in whatever field we choose. I think the question is, am I doing that as a vocation or am I doing that as a just a ministry? You know, I think of Kevin Burrell, who you had on. Kevin is a perfect example of a pro baseball scout who is really a minister dressed as a pro baseball scout.
That's what he said.
I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah.
That's who he is. Yeah. I've known him since 1985. I've known Kevin forever.
Wow.
That's who he is. That is. And so I think I heard Jim Collins say this years ago, there's what we love to do. There's what we're good at. And that little intersection in the middle, what we can get paid for, is really where we need to be.
Right.
And for all of us, I think our faith is a part of what we do and leading with our faith out in front, no matter what it is. But sometimes determining those two things is hard. And we've got to look at, okay, Lord, what doors are you opening? And I'm going to walk through the door you open because I don't know. I don't see what you see. I don't know what you know. So Lord, I'm going to live for you, whether I am a baseball coach or whether I'm a student pastor. It doesn't matter. I'm going to live for you. I heard Henry Blackaby wrote Experiencing God's Son. I asked Richard this question. It's fascinating. I said, did your dad always, all his kids are in ministry,
right?
Did he tell y'all to all go in ministry? He said, no, my dad just said, follow Jesus and whatever door opens, just walk through it.
So simple.
Good advice. So simple, but yet it's a functional faith, right?
Well, it's simple, but it's really hard, right? For so many.
It is hard. Yeah.
Yeah, man. There's so such good stuff there to think about. How have you as a pastor and even as a coach too, because, and I love asking this question to coaches, but I want to ask it to you, Mike, because I think it's interesting with what you do. You pour out so much of you into others. I mean, you even mentioned it, right? And we haven't talked about the podcast yet, but you have this podcast. Yep. You have the Zoom with the coaches that you're doing on Mondays. You're also pastoring a church. A lot of people come to your church and pastoring a large church and a large congregation. You're also a dad. You're also a husband. There's a lot that you're giving. Who pours into Mike? How does a pastor like Mike Lynch, a person like Mike Lynch stay fed? Because that's like the thing that Jesus tells us, like, my time with you is the most important. God says. But it's so easy to get caught up in thinking that when we're pouring out to others, that that's kind of, I don't know, that's the checkbox that we're good with God. But we forget sometimes that our cup is kind of empty and we need to fill that up. How do you fill your cup up?
Number one, it's a huge discipline that you've got to have. And you typically only learn it when you have to, right? I think for me, it's who I listen to. I don't get to go out and go to other people's churches on Sundays. But guess what we have? We have technology. And so my downtime is working in a yard or working on a ball field. I love working on ball fields, and I go over to our local high school and weed the warning track and edge and do all that fun stuff.
Right.
And that's when I listen to people to grow. I read. So I lead a small group, but by leading that small group, going through last year, we did Paul and his companions. Man, I got better from that. I grew through that. So I think doing more than just messaging, right? Just what I'm taking in to give out on Sunday, but listening, reading. But I think the biggest thing, and Chris, I know, talks about this big and out of the cave,
yes,
is honoring that Sabbath, man. Having that day of honoring God's rhythm he created. So I sprint and I rest. A lot of guys will take a long vacation. I do not. I take a week, but I sprint and then I'll take a week off. Mm. I'll sprint and I take a week off. And that's how I have found a healthy rhythm of not getting overwhelmed, because the reality is we all can get overwhelmed and we all will get overwhelmed. How we sustain ourselves through it's the question. And so being able to find that rhythm of rest for me, and it may not mean I go out of town, but it may mean that I unplug from speaking that week and I go to a church somewhere and I sit and listen to a buddy or go to a conference somewhere. But creating that healthy rhythm, we all have to do it. Jesus had to spend time with his Father.
Right.
Right. God created the Sabbath. It wasn't man's idea. It was God's idea. So honoring that is good for our souls.
You have a podcast, Lunch with a Leader, which I love. And again, we talked about it in the beginning. You were gracious enough to have me on your show. It launched, I cannot believe this, when I went back and looked at that time when you and I did that interview. That was August of 2017. So we're talking 4+ years now, 4 years and about a month or so since this show launched. I'm always fascinated, though, because I feel like today it's different than 2017, where I think everybody assumes if you have any kind of influence or platform at all that you have to go and do a podcast. And I kind of shake my head on that, because I don't think everybody needs to do a podcast just because you can do a podcast. But I love your show because it's talking about leadership. There's a lot of sports woven in. Certainly faith is in there. But it's not all sports. Obviously, you have a lot of guests who have no interest in sports at all. But I love the concept of Lynch with a Leader, obviously the play on name there with your last name. Why start that podcast when you think back now 4+ years? And I'm glad that you've continued, because a lot of people who start podcasts, they bail out after a year because it's work. It's a lot of work. And you know this, you're laughing because you know this. But why start that podcast? What was the motivation, I guess, to start something like this, Lynch with a Leader?
I'm so glad you asked that, because I look back now and it was crazy, because really I know a lot of people in my community. I've lived here for 30 years out of college. I've lived in the same community for 30 years, 25 of them almost at my church now. So I know a lot of people here, but outside here, I don't really know anybody. What happened, Jason, was in 2017, we set a goal as a church to help 10,000 people take their next step towards Christ in the next 5 years. Okay, well, that's great. Great goal as a church. We got a lot of people to help accomplish that. But I couldn't get away from, I felt like that's what God was asking me to do. And I didn't know how I was going to do that and pastor and do all the other things I was doing. And so this thought of a podcast, I was like, that is a way, if I can get leaders to lead like Christ out in front, man, the power of influence is huge. So I can't reach everybody, But if I can reach the leader who changes, then when the leader changes, it sprinkles down to their people. Because when you watch your head coach change and you watch your CEO change and your principal change and your manager change, it changes down line. And so that was January of 2017. Beginning of February 2017, my dad went and took mail and put it in the mailbox. In fact, mail and a check to North Star. There, my mom and dad were retired and walked back in, and he was a super disciplined guy. He was having his Diet Coke and his cookie at 2 o'clock and got to the top of the steps and had a massive aneurysm, fell, broke his neck, and died that day. I was literally on the baseball field that afternoon when I got a call. Hey, your dad fell. I didn't think much about it. Went down, found out he fell, broke his neck, wasn't anything they could do, and didn't make it.
Wow.
In April, my mom started not feeling well. And in May, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and in 3 weeks was gone. So I remember Memorial Day weekend of 2017, I'm sitting at Orange Beach. We drove down on vacation, sitting at Orange Beach. And I was going through my work bag. I couldn't sleep. And I had this podcast file. And I'm like, you know what? Why not try it? You know, if that's a way that I could reach more people and make my life count, I want to make my life count and use this time, I'm going to give it a shot. And you, and I had a group, and you were in that group that I sent a note to. And I said, my caveat was, well, if they say no, then I'll just know if, you know, that God's not in it. And all of you said yes. And I'm like, well, crap, now I got to figure out how to do it. So I remember coming back from vacation and going, hey, I'm going to start a podcast. And our team was like, that's awesome. How are you going to do it? What kind of microphone you're going to use? I'm like, yeah, I don't know that part yet, but I got some great guests lined up. And right. So I really didn't know what I didn't know, but I knew this. I wanted to reach America's greatest leaders from every field and find out how they're doing it with their faith out in front of what they do. And so that became the driver of it. And we just keep plowing snow and keep going. So it's done okay, but you know, it's at the end of it, you know, this at the end of it, I'm better for the interviews. If nobody else listens, I got to have a great interview with somebody I respect a ton. And I learned something, whether anybody else does or not.
Well, that's kind of how I look at this show. I mean, I know we have an audience, but I also know that if I'm sitting here talking to Mike Lynch for 30, 40 minutes, and I get to learn a few things and listen to some wonderful stories and hear about how Christ is working in your life, I'm better for it. Amen. Hopefully everybody else listening is too. But if nobody's listening, then you and I had a great conversation. And what's the worst thing that can happen? That's we know that there are people listening, certainly to Lynch with a Leader. And I want everybody to go out and make sure we'll put a link to that in the show notes to subscribe, to listen to Lynch with a Leader, maybe listen to episode one, go all the way back. And you can hear Mike and I have that first conversation, gosh, 4+ years ago.
Amazing.
But this has been fantastic, my friend. Thank you for coming on the show. Thanks for all the great conversation. We'll have to do it again, hopefully in person.
Yes.
Always great to see you, my friend. Thanks for being
here. Great to see you, Jason. Thank you, buddy.
That was great stuff there from Mike Lynch. He is the pastor of North Star Church in Kennesaw, Georgia. You'll find him on Twitter. His last name again, L-I-N-C-H, Mike Lynch. His podcast is definitely one that you need to subscribe to. He releases 2 episodes every month, and it's called Lynch with a Leader, and it launched in August of 2017. You can hear yours truly share his story on that podcast as well. But really, it's about leading with Christ in front. And Mike Lynch is doing just that, both as a pastor, as a sports chaplain, as a coach, and as a podcast host. And so we appreciate Mike being here today on the show. He's one of my favorite people, and I'm sure we'll be able to connect again very soon in the future. You can give him a follow on Twitter. Just search Mike Lynch, L-I-N-C-H, and you'll find him there. He's pretty active on Twitter, and I just really enjoyed the conversation with him today on Sports Spectrum. Before we say goodbye, want to direct you again to our website, sportspectrum.com. Click that newsletter icon and sign up for Sports Spectrum Weekly. It's a great way to stay in tune with all that we have going on here at Sports Spectrum. The articles, the podcasts, the devotionals that you may have missed can come right to your email inbox every Wednesday. 1 email a week. We will not spam you. But if you go to sportspectrum.com and you click that newsletter icon, you can sign up and you're good to go at sportspectrum.com. Also, rate, review, subscribe, follow this podcast. If you haven't done that yet, What are you doing? We want to encourage you to do that. That way, you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. And subscribing is the best way to not miss any episodes. But then telling someone is also a great way to use Sports Spectrum as a resource, as a way to share the gospel, to share these stories with people who maybe you're trying to reach for Christ. Sports is a great way. We talked about that with Mike Lynch today on the show. Sports is a great way to share the gospel. And that's really what Sports Spectrum is about. Just giving you the tools, the articles, the podcast to tell someone, to share with someone about Jesus. Because that's what we're called to do. Jesus himself called us to go and make disciples and tell people about him. And we're doing that through this ministry, this media ministry that is Sports Spectrum. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you next time. We love you. Have a great rest of your day. Please stay safe and tune in for a new episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast coming up next time right here on Sports Spectrum.